We are very excited to welcome to the show for the first time Representative Kara Rochelle. And Kara is representing for her third term, the 104th District, and that is serving Ansonia and Derby. And if you were listening to the show a couple of weeks back, we learned some new news. In fact, you heard it here first on WICC that Ansonia Mayor David Cassetti was going to throw his hat in for the Republican Party to go up against State Rep Rochelle. And so I want to get to know her, especially ahead of the November election, not because of that news, but because Ansonia and Derby, a huge part of our listening area here on WICC, and I want to know what Representative Rochelle has been doing up in Hartford and what she would like to continue doing if reelected in November. So welcome to WICC. Thank you for giving us the time in studio.
Thank you so much for having me, Melissa.
So I first want to ask a little bit just about you and how your journey got started in politics and why you're passionate about serving Ansonia and Derby.
Yeah, so it's actually, my family has I'm really proud of the way that my family raised me. My great-grandfather came over from Italy and was a big part of our lives. He lived to be 97. We had three generations in a household growing up, and he worked really hard for that American dream. My grandmother, he was passionate. He was involved civically, worked at Ansonia Copper and Brass for 40 years, which was a big part of our area and ties into, what we're doing now. And my grandmother was registrar of voters for 43 years. She was a spitfire. Used to say, if you don't vote, you can't complain. And my mom and my dad didn't really adopt that political fire, but were really focused on public service. Mm-hmm. My dad has been involved with volunteer firefighting since he was about 15, 16 years old. He's been doing that for almost 50 years. He was a fire chief. He's taught at the Valley Fire School for decades. He's had his hand in really not just, getting up in the middle of the night and protecting people, but also having the foresight to train a new generation and build something bigger than himself, which really had a huge impact on me. And my mom was a small business owner. She had a home daycare. And so she really instilled the importance of taking care of children and education. My whole family were a bunch of
public servants, sounds like.
Yeah, yeah. Really proud of it. Yeah.
Wow. And did you grow up in the Ansonia area?
I grew up in the Valley. So I grew up in Seymour. Okay. My family originally came to Ansonia. I've got family up and down the Valley. And so I'm a Valley girl, proud of it, and really proud of the culture that we have out here. Everyone's down to earth, and we're the type of culture where, and I'm sure you know this, if something happens to anyone in the community, if it's a house fire, if somebody's family member gets sick, we throw spaghetti dinners, we show up to help each other. There's that culture of looking out for your neighbor. And I have always, preached that is just something we show up for each other. And so that's what I do with what I do with the public service as well.
That's amazing. So when you first, won your seat and now in your third term, what would you say are some of the goals that you had that first, that first time campaigning? And do you feel like you've reached some of the goals you've wanted to in office? I mean, what do you feel you've accomplished in the three terms so far, almost three terms because we're not done yet?
Yeah. So I'm really proud of the accomplishments. I've worked really hard. I walked in the door, and when I came in, Ansonia and Derby were the first and fifth most economically distressed in the state of Connecticut. Really high unemployment rates, low median income, and our people deserve better than that. And so started thinking about, not just small steps, though a lot of strategic small steps, but also big ticket things that I wanted to go after. So, for example, the Waterbury train line, I knew that was going to be huge for economic development. And so when I walked in the door, no one had even been testifying in years in support of it. And my first term, I was the only one that did. And so I really whipped up interest in that issue, lobbied everybody, was able to pull numbers and really prove the importance of it and the amount of developable space we had, and was able to, brought in the head of economic and community development from DECD, brought in the governor, did a tour of the downtowns, and was able to successfully get not just increased train service in the line, but also the new trains have been ordered and new stations are being the money is secured. They're going to be built for Ansonia and Derby as well.
Yeah, it's wild because as soon as you said that, I thought, oh, yeah, that's where I saw your name pop up, because that was a huge story at the end of 2023. The fact that this Waterbury line and what it was going to mean, especially for the Valley and the investment that's going into our infrastructure. I mean, it's huge, especially right now as we're trying to get more and more people back into public transit started after the pandemic. So that's massive. I mean, could you have imagined when you walked into office, what, 5 years ago, that we would now be here in 2024?
You know, I'm lucky that I was kind of raised to not know what the limit is, you know, and I grew up in the Valley. I spent 10 years in New York, and that's a very competitive, area. And so I was, in a very professional environment. And so I think big. There's the train lines. There's the Route 34 widening project. That is almost done. And that's going to mean, getting the downtown of Derby redeveloped. There's some really big ticket things. I did a tally recently because I was trying to really quantify for folks what I've done. And the tally, not counting the actual trains, I'm still getting the final figures on how much the trains for specifically the water line cost. But the tally without that for town aid, bonding, all that is $232 million.
That's nothing to scoff at.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. So it's funny. Like I put this little sheet together that shows by year what I've brought in, because I want folks to know that this is not just talking points, that this is actual things that they can point to in their community.
Mm. I think it's so important. And, before the show started, we were talking off the air. We have State Rep. Rochelle here, who represents Ansonia and Derby in the 104th District. And I think it's so important that people can identify what is going on with local politics, because so often there is so much noise nationally, which I understand. They've got the money to advertise it everywhere, to make it top news headlines. I get it. But it's so important that people in your towns and cities know, what are you doing up in Hartford? What is actually happening? So, to have concrete vision and then see either solutions or an outcome, to be able to tell your constituents that, I think, is a huge thing. I mean, do you mind actually touching on this, not to put you in a rough spot, Representative, but, the difference between national parties and local parties and how you feel Connecticut handles that?
I got involved in politics not because I thought that what was happening in politics was good. I got involved because I thought that there was a problem that needed to be addressed. I think that the culture that's been created is really polarized, and I don't think it's healthy for democracy. I always say to folks, democracy is not, one-upping each other and then, digging in your heels and going back to your corner and refusing to cooperate. Democracy lives in the act of talking to people that you disagree with and finding a solution that moves government forward and is the most respectful solution for everybody and the most productive solution. And so in Connecticut, we really in Hartford have created a culture where we work with our colleagues. I always give this example. I was when Caroline Simmons became the mayor of Stamford, I was vice chair of commerce. And so I was acting in that role. I was sitting in the chair seat that year, helping out with running everything. And my ranking and I were trying to figure out just minor details on one of the bills. And we were doing it via text and we're talking and we couldn't quite get there. And I said, "Are you in the building?" And he said, "Yeah." And I grabbed all my candy and went over to his office and tossed a Snickers at him and said, "We're going to sit here and we're going to figure this out." And we did. And it's having that, respectful way. I do that locally with residents, too. I do twice monthly coffee events. And I put myself in the community and say, "Hey, everyone, wherever you are, whatever you're thinking about, come down and talk about it." And I'll have people show up that completely disagree with each other and facilitate a conversation that helps them to see eye to eye more. And I think that if you're doing public service, you have a responsibility to contribute to creating a culture where people talk to each other. Mm. If you're contributing to the divide, as far as I'm concerned, that's malpractice. Mm-hmm. You're trying to be facilitating democracy and facilitating solutions because people are frankly sick of the fighting and want government to work for them.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with that. It has been a real pleasure to get to know over the last few minutes State Rep. Kara Rochelle, who is representing the 104th District. She is actually in her third term as we speak, and she's representing Ansonia and Derby and is up for re-election in November, going up against Ansonia Mayor David Cassetti. I wanted to talk about just some of the goals that you have going forward if re-elected, but also, continuing to touch on what has happened since you've been in office. this. You had mentioned very briefly, and I wanted to dive into that a little bit more, Ansonia Brass. I mean, has a lot of money come in, I feel like, since you've been in office? Tell me about that.
Yeah, so it was one of my high priority targets because, you know, if you're looking at where you can create development, where you can create jobs, you want to look at the big areas that are available, right? And so this is about 100 acres when you cobble the four pieces of land together. It's Ansonia Brass at SHW and Farrell sites. And it was a set of factories which were then contaminated and then shut down and sat vacant for a couple decades and really have been a weight on the community. And so it was a high priority for me. My first term, I was able to break the seal and get $500,000. The governor came down and we talked about how that was a tipping point. And at the time, the mayor thanked me for it. We've got the video of it. And then in my second term, we were able to accelerate that. On the state level, we created a fund called the Community Investment Fund. We took $875 million and said we're earmarking it for communities that are traditionally underfunded, like Ansonia and Derby. And in the first round of applications, it was able to secure $6.5 million for an access bridge for the site. Over the past few years, in total, I've brought in over $15 million. I've brought in Rosa DeLauro to look at the site. I've brought in the governor. I've brought in the commissioner of DECD and have really made sure that everyone's on the same page about the value, about its proximity to the train station, and about what types of opportunities are available to put on that site. And so it is contaminated. We don't want people walking on it, but we have taken some of the buildings down already. And frankly, they're not even close. The town's not even close to spending all that $15 million yet. They can't spend it fast enough. But it is being spent, it is in progress, and it's really exciting to see.
Speaking of funding, another thing I wanted to touch on is the town funding and what's being done for schools as well, the education spending for Ansonia Derby area. What can you tell us about that?
So I actually went to school and my degree is in English and I did a master's as an undergrad in adolescent education. And so I student taught in the Bronx when I was in college. And so education has always been a huge priority for me, especially in making sure that underfunded areas get a fair shake. So I've had a bill in every year saying I want full funding for my schools and have really been a vocal, I guess you could say, rabble rouser about this issue. And so we've accelerated the formula. We have delivered increased funding every single year. Last year, we added an additional $150 million across the state. And locally, I actually have charts here, and this comes from the Office of Fiscal Analysis, the nonpartisan office in the state of Connecticut, and it shows the increases. And so total increased town aid, for education funding, total cost sharing is $137,666,816. We've had increases in the 104th of $6.8 million on top of what, when I walked in the door, what was being had. And that's just in town aid. We're really being intentional. And in addition to the increases in town aid and education money, I've also created savings. Sean Scanlon, our comptroller, we told him there's pension issues in the towns. It's hard for the towns to afford. And so last year, we really worked with him and he reformed the system, saving the pension system for our cops, for our town workers. And in addition to saving those pension systems for them, because pensions are really important, it saves the town's money. Ansonia's saving about $800,000 a year, but they can then reinvest into other programs for the town. And Derby's saving, I think it's about $600,000 a year. And so we've been really intentional with delivering savings in addition to delivering new money.
And really quickly, Representative Rochelle, before you go, when you talk about education funding and investing in that, when you say that we're putting money into, aid, what exactly is that? And the reason I ask that is I've been asking basically every politician in Connecticut. My huge concern is that we continue to see school budgets being impacted because the COVID money is running out. One of the top things that always gets cut are paraprofessionals. And while we're especially living in a time where we are so focused on mental health and the need of our kids, I think paras are the last entities that should be cut. Does the funding you're talking about for the Valley, does that include making sure we have aides, for example, in schools or paras? Or could you, tell us what the money's going to?
Yeah. So Ansonia and Derby are both Alliance districts, which means that the money is protected by Alliance rules, meaning the towns can't take it for themselves. They can't supplant. They can't lower what they're contributing. They have a baseline. So that policy is designed to protect that education money. And then the superintendents can work with the state, and the state will, the superintendents submit a plan of how they want to spend the money, and the state works with them to approve it to make sure that things like appropriate levels of paras are there. You know, when I'm not a legislator, I'm a union organizer. And so, you know, I advocate for healthcare workers, but I'm always endorsed by the American Federation of Teachers and CEA. You know, like I said, I have a degree in education. And so it's very close to my heart. You know, I really think about how this is going to affect the future for the people in the community that have lived here beyond us. There's an adage that I always quote to folks that, you know, the wise man plants a tree whose shade he'll never see. Like, you know, it sounds really sentimental, but it's true. You have to think about how what you're doing now affects the people around you and affects the next generation.
Mm. Well, Representative Rochelle, it has been such a pleasure to at least get to know you a little bit better. And I'm sure we'll be talking again well before we get to November. And I just want to thank you for your time and coming in the studio.
I really appreciate it. It's been really nice talking to you.
Do you have a website or anything if people want more information or to connect with you?
Yeah. So I'm not sure if we're discussing this from a legislative standpoint or campaign standpoint. My legislative is through the House website. My campaign win is careforct.com. And I am out in the community all the time, pretty easy to reach, and always, you know, checking social media, checking emails. And so come find me. If you got questions, I'm happy to talk to you.
Yeah, especially because we're literally down to just less than 2 weeks left of the legislative session. So if there are people who want to reach out to you, talk to you about, you know, legislation or anything.
Yeah, and I'll be doing legislative wrap-ups in the community, too, and bringing folks in. So we make sure that we're really giving folks a full understanding of what's happening in the community.
Oh, that would be – are you doing it after –
session.
Okay.
We're going to wrap up, bring all the bills together, and really give an overview for everybody.
That's very helpful.
Yeah.
Okay, fantastic. And people can find that on where?
Get on my email list, and we'll be sending out information, publicizing it so folks know where to find us.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Representative Rochelle. I thank you so much for your time and coming in studio.
Really nice meeting you. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.